those prayers and those dreams will change. Come next May, we'll see how much of a smile he's had when he hasn't slept in about 3 or 4 weeks, right? But children are wonderful, but they they can try you early on. We were talking this morning, I said the greatest day in my parenting was the day I changed my last diaper. And so, I don't know, it might not be the same for everybody. Our next lesson, which we'll go right into, is our speaker is Jeremy Rieger. He is 27 years old. He's from Davison, Michigan. Jeremy married his wife, Amber, on July 10th, 2010. He loves teaching, preaching, playing softball, and Michigan football. So I hadn't had much to cheer about lately. that's not an SEC school. He was Catholic until he was invited by a friend to visit the church. Doesn't that tell us something right there about our need to talk to people and to invite people, invite our friends, invite our neighbors to church? Because, you know, here is a man that somebody's effort to invite him to church has brought about a great servant of God. And we look at John chapter 1, we see Andrew bringing, you know, someone to Christ. And who was it? It was Peter. You know, we don't hear a lot about Andrew, but we certainly hear about the person he brought. And so a great example here of someone being invited and then giving their life to the cause of preaching. He became a child of God in March of 2003. He wants to go back to the North after graduation, but will work wherever he has opportunity. And God bless him for that, because there's a lot of opportunities. And sometimes our plans are not always the ones that God has for us when we follow Him. Jeremy's lesson is entitled, Be an Example. Come show us God's will.
A little bit. I'd just like to say something to the young people first. You are the future of the church. You just need to continue studying your Bible, grow in love, grow in Christ, so that one day, when you're up here, or maybe you're a deacon or an elder or just a member of the church, you can bring others and continue to grow the church and make Christ proud. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. There are a lot of people that kids tend to imitate. Athletes, celebrities. I remember quite a few years ago, Charles Barkley said that he was not a role model. He may not have wanted to be one, but being in the spotlight like he was one. And there are some good examples and some bad examples. Mel Gibson claims to be a Christian of the Catholic denomination. But with some of his drunken rants and the language used in a lot of his movies are not the way a Christian should act. The text for the lesson today is from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And in the ancient environment, one was considered a youth until they were 40. So as much as my wife likes to tease me about being old, I'm still considered a youth. But his youth might have caused some to dismiss Timothy's authoritative command. There was false teachers in Ephesus at this time. They're also mentioned in 1 John. But Paul suggests being an example. Paul is very strong on example. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul tells the Corinthians to imitate me just as I imitate Christ. And there's anyone who's ever walked the face of the earth to imitate, it is Jesus. With an example is also a pattern to follow. One can argue or dispute theological points, But they can't argue an example. If you're living the way that a Christian should live, if you're living the way that Christ lived, then no one can dispute that. Each of the qualities he's told to be an example of stand in stark contrast to the traits of the false teachers in Ephesus. Timothy was to be an example to fellow Christians like we are today. And the first trait that Paul tells Timothy to be an example of is in word. Word here most likely refers to interactions with people, but it could also mean teaching as well. Turn with me to James chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. The verb that starts that off with let not means to stop becoming many teachers. There was a lot of people becoming teachers just for the recognition and title of being a teacher. They did not possess the traits that a teacher should have. And how we talk with people can be as important as what we say. If you had wronged somebody and you go up to him and you look at him and you say, I'm sorry. It can be different than if you go up to him with your arms crossed and a scowl and say, I'm sorry, like you're forced to. Sometimes your body language, your tone, your facial expression can betray the words that you are saying. And words are also worthless without acts. If you say that you're somebody's friend, and you know you need money one day and you ask them to borrow some money and they give you some money, and then their car breaks down, and they call you up and say, are you going to the football game Friday night? You say, yeah, I am. He goes, well, can I get a ride? And you say no, and you make up some excuse as to not give him a ride. You may say you're friends with him, but the actions are not backing up those words. And stumble is to trip and fall, and with James saying we all, he is including himself as well. And the perfect man that he mentions is a mature Christian. You are able to control what you say, and there are no slips of the tongue. And now we'll move on to the second trait, your conduct. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. Second Corinthians 1:12. For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience that we conduct ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God and more abundantly toward you. Conduct is a certain style of living, and it can be either positive or negative. Paul here is boasting about the integrity of his behavior among the Corinthians. He had not partaken in the tricks and devices of fleshly wisdom that was common among the Greeks. And the Greeks were big on wisdom. A lot of philosophers had come from there, Aristotle, Plato. And they were big on good speakers, good orators. They loved to hear someone who was a good speaker. And Paul's actions were open before God and man. There are no hidden deeds of darkness or dishonesty, or deceit. And like Paul, our conduct should be open before everyone and boast of our Christianity. They should not have to ask if we are a Christian or not. The way we speak and the way we conduct ourselves out in the world should tell them that we are a Christian without us having to confirm that. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Nothing can hinder the advance of the gospel more, both in a Christian's community and individual lives than internal unrest among believers. If after going to church, you go to a family gathering, and people can see that you're a little agitated, and they ask you why, and you're truthful with them, and you tell them about some argument or some dispute that is going on among the brethren, that's going to hinder the gospel, because they see how you're agitated about it, and what is going on, and that can push them away. But an issue in the Philippian letter here is how the Philippians were conducting themselves out in the world. And noble qualities accompany conduct, and the Philippians were not conducting themselves like Christians should. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Paul wants their frame of mind and habits to be without covetousness. That is, to let your conduct clearly show that their hearts were not set on acquiring riches of the world. Paul warns Timothy that the root of all evil is the love of money, and it is sickening to think of what some people will do to get rich. If the morality of this country were to take a 180 and go back to the Christian principles on which it was founded, and those people would not be making any money anymore, then they would be forced to stop what they are doing. And the next trait to be an example of is love. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. Here the love that expresses the agape kind. It is the strongest form of love that the Greeks used. It is expresses the true nature of God. The all at the end of the verse includes all who will ever live. Christ was the propitiation for our sins, and he was sent because of the love of God. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe in him shall have eternal life. God loved the world, but not the physical part, but humanity. We also find in Hebrews 10:1 through 4, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of things, can never with these sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, for the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. We find there the blood of goats was not enough. God loved us enough to send his only begotten Son to be the sacrifice that would free us from sin. Without Jesus and his sacrifice, we would still be slaves to sin. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Christ tells the apostles about the greatest love anyone could ever have for another. The agape kind of love, the type of love that a husband should have for his wife, and the type of love that Christ had for us. And it stood in very different, stark contrast to the paganism gods. They couldn't love anyone. It was out of the question. And they thought God was self-sufficient and couldn't love anyone, that it was out of the question. It was impossible. Even though we are his creation. Love is to be an important part of all ministries, it's by being an example, Timothy was to prove the widespread notion of God not being able to love was wrong. We turn over a short bit to John 21, 15 through 17. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." God asked Peter if he loves him. And the word that Jesus is using is the agape kind of love. And Peter answers that he does. But Peter uses phileo, and that's the brotherly love. But God wants Peter to not only say that he loves him, but he wants him to show it through his actions. If somebody asks you for a glass of water, and you hand them an empty glass, you have not given them what they've asked for. And love is like that. Love without any action behind it is like that empty glass. Empty and hollow. Now we turn to faith. Colossians chapter 2. Verses 5 and 6. Colossians 2, 5 and 6. "For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." Faith is to be an extreme trust in God, followed by a trustworthy way of life. Our faith should be readily seen by everyone in the way we live our lives. And like Jesse mentioned, a walking billboard for Christ. Hebrews 11:1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." It is a faithfulness, a trust in following God, that whenever a need arises, God will help you to fulfill that need. Faith is well-grounded. It is a confidence in our objects of our hope. Redwood trees are some of the tallest trees around, but they don't start that way. They start as a seed and through time grow to be that size. They're able to withstand storms because of their deep root system. Our faith needs to be like those redwoods. It may start out small, but as we grow and study, our faith grows also. It is a lifelong process of continual growth. We also need to have deep roots in the Bible, the Word of God. If we cement ourselves in it, then like those redwoods, we will be able to withstand life storms because we know we have God on our side. And if God be with us, who can be against us? April 20th, 1999. 8 serious Christians were killed. 4 Catholics, 4 evangelicals. The first person killed on that day was 17-year-old Rachel Scott outside the lunchroom of Columbine High School, all because it was rumored that she had her Bible with her. And the gunman also made a video where they mocked her by her name for her beliefs. And researching this, I found that at Columbine High School, it was not unusual to see students carrying their Bibles with them from class to class. And Cassie Burnell, in 8th and 9th grade, she fell in with the wrong crowd and dabbled in witchcraft, alcohol, drugs, and was fascinated with suicide. Her parents sent her to a different school after finding letters describing violent acts her and her friends would like to do to their parents. She became a born-again Christian in 1997 after a Christian retreat with West Boyles Community Church. It is a church that is not associated with any denomination, but it fits under the umbrella of evangelical. She was asked if she believed in God in the library. Her answer was yes. She was then asked why, but was shot before she could answer. She's only 17, yet her faith was strong enough to answer with a threat of death. Is our faith strong enough to answer that we believe in God when we ask by our family, our friends, our peers? Now we turn to the last trait that Paul tells Timothy to be an example of, and that is purity. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians 6, 4 through 6. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love. Commending ourselves there refers to the demonstration in Paul's life. It is the highest integrity of character which was daily shown in all areas of his behavior. The primary meaning here is chastity, especially in a place like Corinth, which had the temple of Aphrodite, which at one time had 1,000 religious prostitutes there. And the dedication and integrity of the total life are also included by it. Purity is moral excellence. Jesus was pure. He was free from all sin. And like Paul, we should have Jesus as our role model. We are not to let age stand in the way of our teaching the Gospels to others. We are to be examples to Christians the way we live. Actions speak louder than words. And of the five attributes, there are two external and three internal traits. If we take care of the three internal traits, the external traits will take care of themselves. Thank you.